You're at summer camp, and you're trying not to fall asleep, or maybe you're at a house party, maybe you're at a fraternity or sorority, and you know someone bad is nearby. He's getting closer and closer, and he means you and your friends harm, and you don't know why or how to stop him. If that sounds familiar, it's because it's the plot of any number of horror movies. But that doesn't mean horror movies are predictable, and my next guests argue it can actually be worthwhile to get scared on purpose. Melanie McFarland, TV writer for Salon, and Amy Simon, director of marketing at Smart House Creative, film writer for Three Imaginary Girls, thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Amy, what's the name of your blog again?
I do have another blog called ilovesplatter.com.
I love splatter. So this is a show, not tell thing. You are clearly a fan of horror films. When did that start?
The story. When I was about 9, Brian De Palma's Dressed to Kill came on cable, and I kept seeing the trailer for it, and I begged my parents to watch it. I begged and begged, and they were like, no way, you're going to have nightmares. You're not old enough. But I broke them, and I watched it, and I had nightmares. And then they said, because of that, you are not allowed to see another scary movie until you are 13. And then A Nightmare on Elm Street, unfortunately, came out when I was 12. Mm-hmm. And I was really upset that I couldn't see it. And I tried to beg them to take me, and they were hard. No. But it did come out on VHS after I was 13. So they threw me a little party. And I invited some friends over. And midway through the movie, my dad ran up the stairs with a chainsaw, revving.
And that was fun?
Which scared. It was fun for me. I don't know how. I'd love to get in touch with the people that were there on Facebook now and see how they felt about it. But there's a lot of teenage boys screaming in my living room that evening. But I do feel like that is part of the thing, part of the reason why I love that movie so much, and part of the reason that started me on the path to loving horror film.
That's an amazing origin story. Melanie, I don't know if you have something that specific, someone showing up dressed as a killer while watching a movie, but you also started watching horror when you were younger. Why?
Oh, it's not as colorful as that. It's actually strangely twisted. So it really comes down to, I would go to slumber parties with friends of mine, and the area of town where we lived didn't have Blockbuster, or, you know, for those of you who don't know what Blockbuster is, it's a place that rented these things called VHS tapes. So there were local video stores, and the only things they had were things from like Troma Pictures and really bad horror films. So it almost became this slumber party competition of, can you top that? So the first horror films that I saw were actually really terrible. They were like Faces of Death and Mother's Day. And keep in mind, this is when I was like 11,
wow,
12 years old. I mean, I was pretty young. Actually, maybe like too young, 13 at least, maybe. And I Spit on Your Grave. I mean, these are really hardcore for a little girl to see. And the thing was, there was no, we were all kind of trying to be brave and grim. I would love to, again, go back on Facebook and talk and see how much we were actually really traumatized by all of this. But as a result, when I got older, there were certain things that I think a lot of people found scary that I really didn't, because I feel like I saw the scariest of scary stuff straight out. Mm-hmm. But it also gave me more of an appreciation for things like The Haunting, which is this very classic black and white horror film, and even like going way back to Todd Browning's Freaks, you know, things like that. So that kind of colored my adolescence.
Well, that gives me a really good sense of what was attractive about watching horror films when you were younger. This idea of bravery, the surprise of seeing your friends being terrified by your dad dressed up like a killer. But, I mean, I don't know. As an adult, I feel like I don't actually need horror films to be scared. I was scared most of August when we were living in forest fire sort of apocalypse times. I often get scared taking my daughter out in a crowd after, you know, things like Las Vegas. So why seek being frightened out on purpose through a horror film, Amy?
Well, I like to think of it as a kind of a therapy. So you're watching something outrageous, something that could happen to you or something that couldn't happen to you. You have this roller coaster of emotions, this quickening of the pulse, this what would I do, fight or flight reflex, and at the end of it, you're able to just like turn off the TV, walk away, and it's done. So I think it's a way to explore these fears that we all have without actually putting yourself in real physical danger.
Mm-hmm. Melanie, you're nodding at that. Do you think it's also therapeutic?
I think it's therapeutic, and I think it can be very specifically therapeutic. I think of films like The Witch, which is not a classic, what a lot of people would think of as a classic horror film these days. But that's a story of desperation. What would happen? What would people be driven to if they were actually in a situation where they had to choose their life and they were slowly being pressured? Or something like The Descent, which I think is one of the best stories about female friendship that one can see in modern horror, like if that's possible. So I think they speak to a lot of different things. For instance, like on television right now, we have American Horror Story, which ultimately it's cloaked in this whole idea of politics, but really it's about fear as a divisive topic.
I actually have a bit of the trailer from this season of American Horror Story.
What's the thing that scares you the most?
It is now official. Donald Trump is the next president of the United States.
Since election night, it has just all been getting so much worse.
The recurrence of the chlorophobia?
Yes.
The clowns.
I'll work through it.
He was right there!
Allie, this is ridiculous!
I know what I saw! I am not making this up.
I don't know how much more of this I can take.
If you get people scared enough, they will set the world on fire.
Okay, so that trailer includes two things, mention of Donald Trump's election and mention of clowns.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie, what do you think this tells us about how TV is trying to do horror?
Well, TV is handling it in different ways. If you have, like, specifically take for what American Horror Story is doing, it's really talking about the overarching theme of fear and how fear not only is used to divide us, but also to kind of make people malleable, you know, and that's one way that show is speaking to it. If you look at Stranger Things, which is not a classic necessarily, it's more of a kind of Spielberg idea of a horror story, but that's much more in terms of nostalgia. I think last year there was a lot more there was a lot more in the tradition of Spielberg having that idea of fantasy and nostalgia. This year is a little bit different, and I can't talk about season two until it comes out, or else Netflix will come after me.
Fair enough.
But it's much more about the affection for movies, and really specifically 80s movies that kind of skirted between fantasy and horror.
Amy, you were nodding a lot during that. What do you think? Do you go to film or do you go to TV for when you're looking for to be scared?
I mean, I like it all.
Yeah,
there is not much. I've seen a lot of horror film and TV, so there's not really much that scares me. There are certain things that I find scary, like being in an isolated place, like a movie like The Strangers, you know, is terrifying to me. Or there are certain other things that scare me. Body horror is kind of a scary area. But really, for me, I'm also really invested in the art of the film or the art of the television show. Stranger Things, to me, is like looking inside my soul. That's, you know, I'm like all about the 80s. I'm all about that feeling. I'm all about all the references they make in Stranger Things. To see Winona Ryder up there is amazing. The cast is great. But yeah, so I think like I also like to look at the practical effects of a film. I like to pay attention to the score. I like to look at the lighting and the setting, and all of those things make it an experience for me.
Well, we've only got about a minute left, and we've talked about, I mean, at least a half dozen different movies and TV shows. But Amy, if you had to recommend one movie for somebody to watch or a TV show, that's also fair game, to be scared, what would it be?
I like Karin Kusama's The Invitation, which I believe might still be on Netflix or Amazon Prime. It's great. It's atmospheric. It's a thriller. It's not straight up horror. It's not really gory, but it's really, really unsettling.
Okay. Really, really unsettling. Melanie, what about you? What would you recommend?
Well, it sounds like, I know this may make it sound like I'm in Netflix's pocket. I'm not. They just put out a ton of stuff all the time. Mindhunter right now on Netflix is a thriller. Very, very creepy. Very little blood.
Okay. Very creepy, very little blood. I'm kind of sold on that. Thank you both so much. Melanie McFarland from Salon and Amy Simon from Three Imaginary Girls and Smart House Creative. Tomorrow, Bill Radke will be back. I'm Jeannie Yandel. Thanks for listening. BBC's up next.